powered by DuckDuckGo. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubber and dust, 'cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say, you
everybody, happy Monday, happy Media Day.
What you're about to witness.
As the Grizzlies report, and starting at 11 a.m., right when the show winds up, they will be, I guess we'll get Zach Kleiman first, I imagine, and then we'll go from there. And we will talk to the assorted Grizzlies as they reassemble. Are you ready, Jeffrey, for the... For the Grizzlies to reassemble? Excuse me?
I mean, I don't really have any choice but to be ready, but no. I mean, we just got done with week three of the NFL.
That's true, but nice to have them back. I know it's dopey. I know Media Day's dopey.
Yeah, I also think Media Day's like a waste, but...
But we sometimes... We sometimes get news from Media Day. Last year, Zach Kleiman did the drop mic on Nobody Asked Me If Ja's Gonna Make an All-Star Game. He absolutely is going to. Wasn't that last year? He said that. Isn't that what he said? Like, occasionally there are things that come out and we learn about injuries. We learn about, you know, whatever. And it's nice to see everybody again. In addition to all of that, it'll be a interesting transition. No Kyle Anderson. Of course, last year there was no Jonas. There's every single no D'Anthony Melton this year.
Isn't this where we learned last year that Dylan was not going to start the year?
I think it was a little bit later. I think it was a little bit later that we learned. But yeah, so that'll be unfolding today. Obviously, since none of it will have taken place by the time that we're on the air, it'll all be after us, but we'll be back to talk about it tomorrow, whatever we learn. And of course, as the day unfolds, we'll be bringing you all the updates from FedEx Forum. Today on the show, we're going to do Fight Song Roundup. Next segment, we will celebrate those college football teams that deserve to be celebrated. And once again, the list of teams that deserve to be blown up somehow seems easier to identify, but we'll do that too. Chris Harrington will join us straight up at 10 o'clock before he heads down to FedEx Forum for Media Day. And then, of course, we'll be forced to talk about the NFL, which was very difficult for me yesterday. I think the lesson here is, more in John's case than in mine,
best defense is a good offense.
Don't go out on that big limb. Like I was a little in your, after the Bills just demolished the Titans last week, I was uncharacteristically optimistic about the Bills and basically asking for what I got yesterday, right? So, but John was crazy. Like, John, after the Bills beat the Titans, on Tuesday, it was as if the Raiders had won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He said he was going to have one of the greatest days of his life yesterday. Because he was...
Never let yourself go there.
He was journeying up to Nashville. He was already counting the W, and it just, yeah. And yesterday, if you saw the video, he tweeted out a video of him as he left the stadium, a demoralized, beaten man. And I think the lesson here is to not let your...
Especially if your team's 0-2.
Especially if your team is 0-2.
For instance, like, remember last year...
There wasn't so much to get excited about. There was at least some reason for skepticism. Yeah.
Last year, when the Bills went to Nashville, if you wanted to do, like, the whole, you know, this is going to be one of the greatest days of my life, like, road trip, that's fine. But when your team's...
something to build on other than just the perceived weakness of the other team. When you have no real strengths yourself and you're just reveling in the fact that the other team looked terrible, maybe allow for the possibility
pump the brakes
that your team isn't awesome.
Yes.
And maybe can't stop anyone.
At all.
At all. Ever. Including the freaking Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Who
scored how many points last week?
And then they line up against the Raiders, three touchdown drives of 75 or more yards. Boom, boom, boom. Now, not a lot after that, but still.
They didn't really have to do much more.
They didn't have to do much more. It was pain, as you will hear, I'm certain from John Martin, as the day progresses today.
Bears are 2-1.
It is a weird time here.
The Raiders are 3-0-3.
The Bears and Bills are both 2-1.
Yes.
I'm just going to go ahead and say those are different 2-1s, though.
Extremely different.
And the Bears and Bills are 2-1. The Raiders are 0-3. Bennett's Titans 1-2.
Yes.
And they're sitting in the catbird seat.
For now.
Jeffrey and the Giants, who get the Cowboys tonight on Monday Night Football, one of three undefeated teams in the land. How about that? The Brian Daboll era.
Isn't the fact that the Giants are only a one-point favorite against Cooper Rush, doesn't that tell you all you need to know?
Tells me you don't believe yet, man. It tells me you don't believe.
It also tells me I shouldn't believe yet.
It's you probably shouldn't believe.
Yes.
But wild day, and we'll talk.
But I do feel like we have a coach.
It feels like you have a coach, which is more than the Raiders can necessarily say.
Exactly.
More than Denver can say, right? You look around.
What are you talking about? 2-1 Broncos.
the 2-1 Broncos, yeah, exactly. So we'll talk more about the NFL. As the day progresses. So
that was, by the way, one of the worst Sunday night games I can remember. That was awful.
Just brutal.
That was like you have to sometimes like pay your penance. Like, we're going to have to sit down and watch this.
Watch some
exactly.
Hideous games.
Correct.
We get all the great ones. What was the, taking the entire weekend into consideration.
Okay.
What was the best thing you saw this weekend?
I think Pujols's.
I was going to say
Pujols's seventh.
Right, you got to go Pujols there.
I still can't figure out if the Dodgers were serving it up, because you know he played for them for a little bit, but that was pretty awesome.
And pretty unlikely at one point this season.
Yes.
And
I think at the beginning of the year the odds would have been like 20-1.
He gets to 700 as a Cardinal. Just beautiful. Fantastic. Hit his first home run. It's amazing how long a baseball career can be, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Like, that was the other thing.
April 6th, 2001, he hit his first home run. Here he's had this entire saga. He had a full career with the Cardinals. Then he had a full career, it felt like, not with the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And then he has this spectacular return to the Cardinals, and it really, I'll be honest, it could not have worked out better for everybody, because the Cardinals get the best part of his career.
Yep.
Right?
And then, two titles.
Then they don't pay him, which was wise, right?
At that point in time, they should have ripped up the contract before it, but yes, when the
Angels,
when the Angels, yes.
At that moment, it was wise, And for Pujols, I'll be honest. Wise for Pujols,
yes,
too.
100%.
Two reasons. A, he's made $350 million. It's sort of amazing. Like, he's the sentimental favorite. He also has made $350 million. He got to play as a DH basically half his games.
Yeah.
So would he have, if he had to play in the field, you know, at first base?
No, whatever, my guess is no.
He wouldn't have gotten here.
Yeah.
And so he gets to play half his games as a DH.
And it probably preserved
that's
the
what
career,
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, as his body. Like, it yes. preserved his body to get to where he gets, and then he gets to come back and have the sentimental send-off in 700. It was just perfect. And by the way, the Cardinals, while he was gone, it's not like they struggled. They went to 7 playoffs in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
They went to 1 World Series,
yep.
right? And
yep.
lost. But then, I think they went to,
lost
like
to some
4 NL Championship Series.
Yes.
So it's not like they were in the dregs without
him. No, we didn't
him.
We didn't bottom out.
Hardly.
No.
Hardly. So I think, okay, that wasn't the best thing. That was not the best thing I saw all weekend. The best thing I saw all weekend, and I won't talk of this about at great length, was the finish line Saturday at the big dam bridge ride in Arkansas. I almost never do this. I can count the number of Memphis football games, home football games, that I have missed since I became the sports columnist here. Occasionally, I would miss them back when we used to cover Tennessee and Florida.
Like, yeah,
I'd
you have to go on the road
game
yeah.
instead. But otherwise, particularly now that we really don't ever do that, neither does the CA, I every home game. I missed the time that D'Angelo beat Eli at the Liberty Bowl because I was at a giant family reunion that I had nothing to do with scheduling. But
yeah.
And that one sticks. But I don't miss football. I don't miss Memphis football games because there's not that many of them, home football games. But I said a long time ago that I was going to do this 105-mile bike ride in Arkansas. And Saturday was the day. And I've been training with the Victory Bike Group. And it really is totally cool what they've done there. They had more than 200 people from around Memphis sign up for their training group that goes over then. And a lot of the people have never cycled before. They have a couch to 50. And I'm an overachiever, so I skipped the couch to 50, and I went straight from couch to 100. And it was fine until about mile 64.
How long does 105 miles take?
Well, when you're cruising along in a group on flat land, you can go. I mean, even me, I'm not a great cyclist. I can average 19, 20 miles an hour, right?
Yeah.
So ostensibly, you could do it in 5-6 hours, right?
Okay.
But here's the thing. Two things. One is you stop. They have stops along the way where you stop and you replenish and you walk around and
right.
you eat stuff and peanut butter jelly sandwiches
yeah.
and pickled juice. And
you are biking
whatever.
105
miles.
You're
biking 100 miles. So and it's not really this isn't some giant. I'm not the Tour de France here. This is not,
right.
you know. I'm just trying to finish. And so that's the one thing. And then the second thing is, starting at mile 64 here, there are hills. And there aren't just small hills. There's freaking Arkansas hills. And we went from averaging the first 64 and a half miles with stops, we averaged 17 and a half miles an hour, right? Then you go up hills. Like,
right.
There's a 4-mile hill. Where
this is the Alp stage of the Tour de France.
Each step,
yes, of course.
Each pedal feels like a step. Like,
Yes.
You really
you think you're on the Stairmaster.
If you didn't have any more self-respect, you'd get up, get off, and walk.
Correct.
It would be easier to get off and walk. And so then, even when you're done with that hill, 4-mile, 3-mile hill, whatever the hell it is, you're so cooked that even the slightest incline after there, you're just cursing. You're just cursing at that point.
Why did I choose to do this?
What am I thinking?
Yes.
F. I was saying, dropping so many F-bombs.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, I don't even know how long it took. I think I averaged, we averaged 17 miles an hour, basically. No, we averaged 17 miles of moving time. We didn't average 17 miles an hour. From 60 miles 64 on, according to the official thing, we averaged 11 miles an hour because it just absolutely cooked us. So by the time I got over the finish line, it was so nice to be done. And it's one of those deals where there's different kinds of fun. There's the fun that you can have when you're doing it, that once it's done, you don't really, the fun doesn't linger. Like eating an ice cream cone, right?
Yes.
That's fun while you're eating the ice cream cone, but not when it's gone. You don't even really look back fondly on the ice cream
cone. Right, it was something that happened.
Right? And then there's fun that you have while you're doing it. This is maybe the best kind. Well, I don't know. And then in retrospect, like your golf trip that you just did.
Yes.
Right? You
yes.
know what I mean? Like, yeah, or me no, going in, to Switzerland.
In real time, I was like, this is amazing.
This
and
is
then
amazing.
You look
back on it, you think, that was amazing.
Yeah.
That's a whole different kind. That's in some ways the best.
Because yes.
you enjoy it when it's happening, and then it is a memory forever.
And you appreciate it. Yes.
And then there's the kind of fun that isn't fun at all when it's happening, but is fun when it's over. And that is the sort of accomplishment, pain kind of fun.
Satisfying.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah. And that's what this was distinctly not the ice cream cone kind of fun. This was the other kind of fun. But so the best thing I saw was
the most fun you never want to have again.
Was the finish line. Well, then it's funny how your body works. And I think it's like pregnancy like this, is that after you, I've never had a baby of my own. But after you have a baby, they say, I'm never doing that again.
Mm-hmm.
But then your body tricks you. And
Statistics say usually you do.
2 years later, you're like, I could do it one more time. Why not? Yeah. And so who knows? Like, I was immediately at the I am never doing this again thing. But then afterwards, I'm like, you know, maybe.
Maybe.
And I've said this before. I said it on Gary's show. To me, the best part of this whole biking experience that I've had, and that it applies more broadly to everybody, is that joining communities is really uplifting. And there are all kinds of communities here. I used to be part of a running community. I still feel like I am, even though I don't really run anymore. I'm part of a biking community, part of a church community, part of like whatever your community is, whether it's a motorcycle group or a church group or a knitting circle or whatever, that golf group that you do.
Sure.
Community is unbelievable. And in this time when we've sort of struggled as a larger city, I really think it's affirming to be part of. And so if you are ever teetering between, hey, should I do this with whatever this thing is, I would argue to do it. I would urge you to do it. Because it's been great for me for the last few months. Anyway, that was the best thing I saw. And then the other best thing I saw over the weekend, That scene at Tennessee when they win and Heupel's, you know, saying Rocky Top is back. It was a little tenser maybe than they wanted at the end, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it got awkward, but it was one of those ones where Florida did like everything it could to keep the game somewhat close, but I never felt like they were going to win, even after they got the onside kick. Which, by the way, that was one of the coolest plays I've ever seen.
Totally.
The guy one-handing the onside kick.
Yes. If you were looking at it with dispassionate eye.
That was insane.
It was insane. Yeah, I mean, Florida gets almost 600 yards of offense. And Anthony Richardson, who had not been good the last couple weeks, was good.
No, I mean, he was making
453 total yards.
He was making
passing
big
yards.
Throws.
Yeah.
Like, it was the best I've seen him play.
So, but obviously Hendon Hooker was the star of the show. And there's talk now of Hendon Hooker Heisman, which
I think it's premature,
certain,
but it's deserved.
Yeah, in the end, it's not going to happen.
Correct.
The only way it happens is if he knocks off Georgia, and he's not going to knock off Georgia, right? Although, to be clear, Georgia gave up 22 points to a Kent State team.
Georgia finally looked bored. I think he
Kent
has
State,
to...
Kent State scored 3 points against Oklahoma. Oklahoma get gouged by K-State.
And they do run similar offenses.
No, Georgia looked bored. That was it. So, no, but I think he would have to,
He's got to beat one of the two of Alabama or Georgia. I think the better opportunity would be Alabama, but I mean,
I guess that's true because Georgia doesn't have Stetson Bennett.
I mean, so if you're going to have a Hendon Hooker win the Heisman, typically what has to happen is
they have to knock off Bryce Young. You're exactly right. They got to beat Alabama.
They got to have a signature win, and then you also have to have, like, of the playoff teams, you have to have someone that doesn't have a clear-cut winner. Like, it does feel like it's shaping up for C.J. Stroud to win.
Yes.
Because typically what we've seen with the Heisman.
What was your week like?
We went 7-10. We had some bad luck.
7-10.
We had some.
You were certainly right on the Ohio State.
We had some bad luck.
But anyway, so you have to have someone who's, C.J. Stroud, that's a problem.
Correct.
Because that's Ohio State, great team, great quarterback.
Correct. Like, you can say, okay, Bryce Young, the odds of him winning it again back-to-back, like, we've seen voters just aren't typically, you have to be amazing to do that. So far, we haven't seen that out of him. Then from the other playoff contenders, you have to have, like, a team like Georgia. They're not going to have, like, a clear-cut guy.
Right. You have to have a team that they win on defense.
Correct.
Right? And so they're not, here's the thing, though. It doesn't matter if Hendon Hooker wins the Heisman, it's only because he's done some freaking extraordinary things between now and the end of the year.
You're probably in the playoffs.
Which means you're probably, it's unlikely he's going to win the Heisman. But the fact that we are even talking about it is the victory.
And it's deserved. Like, it may be premature. Yes. Undeserved.
It's right now at this spot.
Yes.
He should be among those being talked about. 100% deserved.
Yeah. He's in the same spot that Corral was in last year at this time.
Yeah. That's a fine comparison.
He was awesome on Saturday.
461 yards of offense, 79% throwing the ball. And by the way, recruited to Tennessee by Jeremy Pruitt.
Mm-hmm.
It worked out.
He was recruited over once Heupel got there.
Joe Milton then was recruited over him, but that certainly worked out nicely for Hendon Hooker. Instead of being coached by Jeremy Pruitt, he is being coached by Josh Heupel.
That is Brady for Bledsoe.
And by the way, all of this was without Cedric Tillman, who was in a boot.
Yes.
So congratulations to Tennessee. Number 8 now, bye week, then LSU.
Yep.
Tricky?
Very tricky, because you got to go there on the road. To me, like, this is the thing where this is kind of what Tennessee had been building towards. And I think, like, the big lesson is when you get into coaching searches, don't try to win the press conference. Go get the guy that you think can do the job. Heupel can clearly do this job. Because I think what was also important about Saturday was I felt like Heupel really needed a win. And even if we get to the end of the year and we realize beating Florida was not some type of massive accomplishment, you needed the type of day that Heupel gave them on Saturday where everyone is sitting there celebrating and it's an exorcism of demons and whatnot. You needed that win. Like, beating Kentucky last year might have been a better pure football win. In the sense of on the road, good team, good opponent.
This was a great
But you
scene.
Needed that day. You needed the day where every Tennessee fan goes, this is awesome.
It was absolutely awesome. Less awesome, but a W was what transpired here in
Winning
Memphis.
Winning with defense.
Where the Tigers win 44-34 in a game that was not reflective of the final score. John Varlas subbed in for me as writing the column, and I thought did a terrific job. And he wrote about, because the news broke Friday night, and we'd written extensively about this, but the fact that there was a push to get Danton Bartow's number retired, and sure enough, they announced Friday night that his number will be retired. So that was cool. Obviously, died of COVID. During this hideous pandemic that we have all endured. So really heartwarming. And that in the wake of that, that they win with two pick sixes. I wouldn't say I was able to watch this on ESPN Plus as I recovered in my hotel room over there in Little Rock. But I wouldn't say that they shut them down. I mean, North Texas threw for 371 yards. That's not shutting them down. North Texas outgained him 473 yards to 334. 4 yards. But two pick sixes is two pick sixes is two pick sixes. And so that's how.
And 21 total points off turnovers.
Yeah. That's how the Tigers won. And so that's great. And yet, all I heard, and with some reason, was unhappiness. Including, there was a smattering of boos at one point. After Memphis had punted six straight times. I did not go back and look at it. When's the last time Memphis punted six straight times?
My guess is the UCF game last year.
Oh, you think they did? You think they punted six straight
times? Yeah, because they were playing Peter Parrish at quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's not.
But like, if you're doing like the that game doesn't count division, which I think is a reasonable.
No, you're right. That's Peter Parrish's quarterback. So they punted six straight times, and I think it's reflective of the fact that this is frustrating to people. You know?
It's not only just six straight punts, five of the six were three and outs.
Yeah. And so, and a crowd of 23,203, which is modest by any standard. It's just, you know, for a team that is now 3-1 to be getting 23,000. And it's sort of what we've been, I know a lot of people it's really hard to know what to make of this. They're 3-1. They're a 20-point favorite over Temple. They should be 4-1. This is all anyone had asked for. The goal is to win the game.
Yeah, I also think we're in the middle of this readjustment period in college football where we're just not used to having games that are games on a schedule, but they don't really mean anything one way or the other. For instance, we started when you mentioned Georgia against Kent State. Am I worried about Georgia? No, I'm not. Like, the reality is there's just so few games where you see your team get tested and you can kind of learn about them.
So you're saying this wasn't such a game?
No, this was a game that happened and you found a way to win. And yes, it was ugly at times, but like, I don't think
you can say the Memphis offense is such that they're bored and so they toyed with North Texas. Do you really?
It's not even necessarily like, okay, they played with their food, if you will. It's the fact that like we're gonna learn way more about them when they play Houston and they go up against a good defense.
I know,
but I
think the question is,
I think Seth had his one of the worst days he's had.
Seth had a bad day.
Like, Seth had bad reads a couple of times and then some bad throws. And does that mean that I think that Seth is all of a sudden, like, I'm pushing a panic button?
Let's be honest. The thing that people worry about is this is reflective of an offense that has taken a clear step back, as you've talked about. All you have to look at is the conference scoring average. It's taken a step back. They don't play with tempo particularly anymore, do they? Like,
they have at times. Like, it's just not. They don't have the explosive play rate that they had previously. But they do, like, in terms of number of plays and whatnot, they're not that far behind.
Here's my question. Forget that this game just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And forget anything that happened in this game. Why were only 23,000 people there?
I mean, look across the country. Attendance is down everywhere. And I do think, though, you bring up an interesting point. My working theory is that Memphis fans are kind of cool going 9-3 if the games are fun and explosive.
I think honestly Ryan has changed here a little bit. Like, I think if you're the coach at Memphis, it's a weird thing. If you're the coach at Memphis basketball. We saw it in extreme with Tubby, right?
Sure.
He was so anti-promotion that it was a freaking disaster. But fundamentally, you don't actually have to win in entertaining fashion. You just have to win.
Yes.
If you're a Memphis basketball coach, no one's like, oh, they beat Cincinnati 49-43, right?
No, I mean, let's be real. A lot of the a lot of Penny Hardaway basketball. It's not aesthetically pleasing.
No, you if you're now, mind you, of course, even the their attendance numbers can be a little bit like people were stunned at the Cincinnati game that they only averaged whatever they they only had 9,000 people in the building. People think that it's 16,000 people in the building. It's not. But anyway, the Memphis basketball doesn't have that bar where you not just have to win, you have to entertain Finn's fans in the process, right? And Penny's got to come on every radio show and be out there flying in a helicopter above the city like Norvell used to sell the program. It's a total double standard. They just have to win. The Memphis football program feels like winning isn't enough. We see that. We saw that from the – and again, I wasn't here, but I there was booing, and on Twitter I saw lots of grousing about this game.
Yeah, it was –
winning isn't enough for Memphis football.
It's just –
which is kind of weird given that for a long time they didn't win at all. Maybe winning should be enough for Memphis football. They could be 4-1, for God's sakes.
No, and I know maybe there's some fans that aren't going to like this comparison, but I've covered both, and I firmly believe this. There's more in common with Memphis football fans and Ole Miss football fans than they want to admit. In the
probably, by the way, either fan base wants to admit.
Sure, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
They're both out there saying, yeah, we're nothing like that.
Yeah, yeah. No, but the reality is I've seen it. Like, they're much rather go, like, 8-4 and have an awesome offense than go 8-4 defensively or 9-3 defensively. Like, they want the fun. They want the fireworks. They want the explosion. Like, that's what they want. They want to fly close to the sun.
Well, they did get the W, and they're out and honoring Danton, and that's great. And they should be. Listen, if before this season began, I had offered you 4-1, Jeffrey.
Would you have taken it 100%?
100% of the time, we're like, that Navy game could be tricky, even though Navy stinks, right? We're like, that Navy game could be tricky.
They got a conference win.
Yeah, and North Texas is worse, even worse than we thought they were going to be.
Houston looks gettable,
and Houston looks gettable. Like maybe like give this team a let's lay aside the fact that they didn't look particularly great. And I think one reason Seth complained about the booing was he was unhappy with his own play.
Yes, I 100% agree with that.
I think Seth was mad at Seth,
yes,
honestly. So I think that happened as well. But we're not going to – listen, I hate to say this. We can't play the Memphis fight song after that kind of performance. We're not going to do it. We'll do the fight song roundup in the next segment, but we're going to honor some other teams. It's Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Chelsea Messenger helping you beat the books. Can the New York Giants stay unbeaten Monday night against the Dallas Cowboys? The G-men have not been good in primetime, going 0-10 straight up in their last 10 nighttime appearances. The Cowboys also 8-2 against the spread against New York in their last 10. Despite being the backup quarterback, Cowboys Cooper Rush also 2-0 straight up and against the spread in his last two starts for Dallas. Helping you beat the books, I'm Chelsea Messenger.
Is there a calculator that can't compute in your kitchen drawer? Recycle it at Staples. A shredder that won't shred under your bed? Or a collection of cables cluttering up your closet? Recycle them now at Staples. With Staples Free Tech Takeback, we'll recycle your old tech free. Plus, rewards members get $5 back in rewards. So if you have modems, mice, and mobile phones making a mess of your home, recycle them now at Staples. Limit one reward per month. Redeemable in-store only. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/recycling for details.
Every search you make, every click you take, they'll be watching you.
Tired of companies like Google and Facebook watching everything you do online? There's actually a simple solution. DuckDuckGo. It's an all-in-one privacy app with a built-in private search engine, web browser, one-click data clearing, email protection, and more. All for free. Download the app today and get the most comprehensive privacy protection with the push of a button. DuckDuckGo. privacy simplified.
You've heard me talk about Dr. Mehdi Sadeghi and his staff at the Smile Center, but here's the thing. Even if you don't have insurance, they have a membership plan at the Smile Center, in-office insurance plan for patients that do not have dental insurance. If you want whiter teeth, you can now have a white, dazzling Hollywood smile with Zoom in-office whitening. You can have a white smile in less than 2 hours. Go see Dr. Mehdi and his clinical staff. They've all been vaccinated. 1941 South Germantown Road in Germantown near Saddle Creek. Phone number is 309-1333. SmileCenterMemphis.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
O'Reilly Auto Parts is here to keep your car on the road with our free loaner tool program. Your local store has more than 80 specialty tools available to rent for your next repair. Refundable deposit required. Ask our professional parts people about the loaner tool program today at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Okay, three more climbers, seven loggers.
Plus. Ted's sustainably sourced logging company is growing a new branch.
What about truck driver contracts?
Which means a new HR manager will be the first hire to fall.
Then we'll need to staff up the warehouse.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, hey, Jeff Allen, it's a great day to be happy. Happy in a new Kia from Gossett Kia South Mount Moriah. What you got going on?
Randy, we'd love to make you happy with the all-new 2023 Kia Seltos LX all-wheel drive. Just $257 per month for 36-month lease and only $29.99 due at signing. Or how about a 2023 Kia Sportage LX front-wheel drive, $287 per month for 36-month lease, $34.99 due at signing.
That's what I'm talking about, Jeff. You got me happy, happy.
And listen, Randy, if you don't see what you want, no problem. We will order exactly the perfect ride for you, and you choose your own bells and whistles.
Plus, equipped with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty.
So whether you live in Horn Lake, South Haven, Olive Branch, or Memphis, you'll be happy, happy at Gossett Kia Mount Moriah.
2680 Mount Moriah or KiaMountMoriah.com. 650 acquisition fee, 30,000 per year, 20 cents excess mileage, zero security deposit. Seltos P738-6423, MSRP 25325, Sportage P709-8842, MSRP 27955. Includes all rebates and incentives. Must finance through Kia. Excludes tax, title, and license with approved credit. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid through 10-1-2022. Dealer stock.
Is there a calculator that can't compute in your kitchen drawer? Recycle it at Staples. A shredder that won't shred under your bed? Or a collection of cables cluttering up your closet? Recycle them now at Staples. With Staples Free Tech Takeback, we'll recycle your old tech free. Plus, rewards members get $5 back in rewards. So if you have modems, mice, and mobile phones making a mess of your home, recycle them now at Staples. Limit one reward per month. Redeemable in-store only. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/recycling for details.
Hurry into the energy savings event at Lowe's. Save energy and save money on select major appliances, including Whirlpool energy-efficient appliances. You can also save with a smart thermostat. Right now, select Google Nest Learning thermostats are $60 off. Plus, find other great energy-saving items throughout the store and check your eligibility for rebates in your area to save even more. Don't miss the energy savings event at Lowe's. Selection varies by location. Exclusions apply. Visit Lowe's.com for details. Valid through 9/28.
When Big Mobile charges you an arm and a leg, they're taking your money and your power. And your arm and leg. Boost Mobile gives your power back with an unlimited plan for $25 a month on one of America's largest 5G networks. We can't give you back your arm and your leg because we're not qualified surgeons. Unless you're an iguana who can grow limbs back. Switch to Boost and get an unlimited plan for $25 a month. Boost Mobile. Unleash your power. New customers only. One line, $25 per month with auto pay. Additional restrictions apply. See BoostMobile.com for details.
Charging a cell phone can be like getting a booster shot. A booster is given to enhance or restore protection after a primary series vaccination, which wanes over time. Schedule an appointment when you are eligible. Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
It's game on at Sam's Town Hotel and Gambling Hall Tunica. Win big in our sports book, where you can cheer on all your favorite teams in some of the roomiest seats available. Win with your taste buds when you dine in one of our food venues, including Willie and Jose's. Try traditional Mexican dishes along with making your own burritos, tacos, and bowls. Be a winner any way you play and anytime you stay. Only at Sam's Town Tunica. See Boyd Rewards for full details. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-777-9696.
Every search you make, every click you take, they'll be watching you.
Tired of companies like Google and Facebook watching everything you do online? There's actually a simple solution. DuckDuckGo. It's an all-in-one privacy app with a built-in private search engine, web browser, one-click data clearing, email protection, and more, all for free. Download the app today and get the most comprehensive privacy protection with a push of a button. DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
Football fans can turn a loss into a win with the King of Sportsbooks. Just place a single first touchdown score prop bet on any pro football game. If your bet loses, you'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. This offer is available all season long. This is Jeffrey Wright inviting you to wager confidently and take your game to the next level with BetMGM. Just log into your account or download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Then, wager on any player to score the first touchdown in any pro football game. And if your bet misses, you'll get up to $25 back in free bets. Turn game time into showtime with the King of Sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Must be in Tennessee. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Guests appear on the Service Master by Cornerstone phone lines. The experts when it comes to disaster cleanup. Service Master by Cornerstone on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Football season is underway. Now it's the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sports book. You got the Giants and the Cowboys tonight. If you haven't bet on FanDuel Sportsbook, all you got to do is download the app for a no-sweat first bet. Up to a grand back in free bets if you do not win. If you win, what's the number tonight, Jeffrey?
One. Basically pick 'em. Giants by one.
Giants by one. So you're a believer in the Giants now. So go ahead and lay the point. And
maybe take it.
Take the point.
Yeah.
Okay, whichever. And if you win, bet $900. You win. Woohoo. If you don't, all that money will be back in your account to bet again. You get a free second shot. Download the app. Use promo code CALKINS. C-A-L-K-I-N-S. C-A-L-K-I-N-S. Must be 21 or older, present Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable. Free bets expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Let's do the fight song roundup.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm all right song. Cause I still got a lot of fight left in me.
Yeah, you had to play it. Had to play it.
You know, they really should play it more. It's such a good song.
Such a good song.
I've always said that they don't play it enough.
Da, da, da. Do you like it?
I like it. It just gets so overplayed. It's like the USC fight song. I think they're both great songs, but like, God, they play them all the time.
I like that it's got singing mixed in, you know?
Full-throated singing, too. Yeah.
People actually know the words.
Yes. That's a big part. Yes.
It's been a long time since they've been able to play that with such joy. Number eight now in the land. Tennessee beats Florida. 38-33. We talked about it a lot in the previous segment, so we won't dwell on it now. But Jeffrey just wanted to play Rocky Top.
I hadn't heard it enough.
He knew you wanted to hear it again. So there it is. Rocky Top for all of all fans. Next. This may not sound familiar.
Yes, of course.
Did you have to go get this one from the deep in the files?
Somehow we had it in. I assume we had it from maybe when they were close to winning CUSA. But Miami heard it a lot.
How about a shocker this weekend? It's MTSU.
Jeff, I think these are some of my favorite numbers from the weekend.
71, 89, 69.
Nice.
98. Those are the distances of touchdown passes.
Passes, yeah, touchdown passes. Chase Cunningham.
What a day.
98, 89, 71, and 69-yard touchdown passes against Mario Cristobal's Miami team. That's embarrassing. Well, the previous week, the quarterback had said we have no atmosphere at home. He likes playing road games.
Correct, because there's
college atmosphere.
By the way, he wasn't wrong.
Wasn't wrong, but that's a way to... Whatever atmosphere there is, it dissolves pretty quickly when you give up 98, 89, 71, and 69-yard touchdown passes. By the way, he got benched.
Yeah, if I'm Tyler Van Dyke, I'm in the transfer portal yesterday.
And are you... You're not out on Cristobal, are you?
No, I think the problem, though, with Cristobal is what he does as a program manager and developer is completely negated by the fact that, like, they run a terrible offense and he's not great at game management. Like, that's the flaw with Mario. Like, I think in terms of a recruiter, program builder, everything, like, I think he checks a lot of boxes, but, man, I just, every time I hate watching their offense. It doesn't matter if he's at Oregon, doesn't matter if he's here. It's just tough to watch.
Certainly an embarrassing day for Miami, but shout out to MTSU. Who's next? I feel bad for Arkansas fans.
I feel bad for me.
Up 14-0. And you're like, okay, this is going to go the right way. And then KJ Jefferson's about to go in.
The first half played out almost exactly like I expected it to.
And that
until
ridiculous,
that play.
That ridiculous play. KJ Jefferson fumbles, and then it turns into backyard football. And returned for a touchdown. And then you get the stupid field goal bouncing off the top of the upright.
It was almost a situation where, like, man, if they were playing us at a college stadium, that might have been good, because I don't know if the goalposts are that big, that high.
This is why.
This was the ultimate college football game. Like, you go and you look at post-game win expectancy, Arkansas wins 70% of the time if the game plays out like that. But it's a sport. It gets stupid. It gets dumb.
Well, it's talking about being a sports fan. I'm beginning to wonder if I shouldn't have picked something
else. I just don't
think
you can choose.
It's just pain.
Mm-hmm.
It's pain for me and my Bills yesterday. And my God, the pain for Arkansas. And I don't mind Texas A&M feeling the pain when they lose.
I think we don't mind Jimbo feeling
it's
the pain.
Jimbo.
Yes.
It's just Jimbo. No, but it's also the cheer, the
yes.
yell
leaders,
practice.
Yes. Yeah.
That's just so awful.
Yes.
The yell leaders. And if that epitomizes that fan base, I don't mind them feeling the pain. But I don't know. I've always felt a soft spot towards Arkansas fans. And for them to have to endure that was rough.
You knew they were in trouble when right before the half, Pittman's basically saying, like, I'm having to, like, calm the sideline down, tell them, like, the game's not over. It's like, oh, they are completely in shock. Which, I guess it's understandable, like, at that moment.
I'm not persuaded that A&M's any good, though. And
no, but I do think that defense is legit.
The defense is legit. They're facing disaster, though. They lose that game.
Oh, yeah.
And you got at State and Alabama coming
correct.
Out. And you're like, holy crap, this team that people were like, Are they going to be the team to knock off Alabama this year?
Yeah.
No, the defense is absolutely legit, 100%. And the running back is legit.
Yes. Both of them are legit, but I think Anais is probably, when you see him and his dad, like, in tears, that suggests to me that he's not going to be playing much more. But, yes, A-Chain, that's real speed.
That is real speed. 19 for 159 yards. And so A&M. Pulls that one out. Next. We could have gone any number of directions here. Because there were others to applaud. I mean, as we, Ohio State did exactly what you thought they'd do.
Yep.
They look great. Minnesota crushed Michigan State.
That's all they've been doing this year. It's crushing whoever they play.
That was impressive. Who else could we have gone with here?
I can't say UCF,
but they did get Jeff Collins fired. And I'm glad because people mix us up.
Yeah,
Jeff
of course.
Jeff Collins,
yeah.
Jeff Calkins.
I mean, maybe if he spelled his name right, he could run a better program.
C-A-L-K-I-N-S mm-hmm. as opposed to the C-O-L-L-I-N-S? Is that what you wanted?
No, I'm just saying J-E-F-F-R-E-Y.
He got fired.
Yes.
Who would you have celebrated from that Wake Clemson game? That did not turn out the way you thought.
Certainly
it was
not the DBs.
Certainly not the DBs.
Yeah, as bad as that was, I knew it was going to come. Like, we're in the fourth quarter, and I told Aaliyah, I was like, I know exactly how this game's going to go. This thing's going to get to an overtime, and Clemson's going to have a two-point play to either cover or not, and that's exactly what happened, and they did not get the two.
But we decided to go with our old friend,
Mike
Norvell. People wondered if Jordan Travis would play. He not only played, he was fabulous. And Florida State beats Boston College 44-14. You combine that with Clemson looking gettable. I think it's looking up down there in Tallahassee. I don't think Deion's going to be getting that job after this year.
I think that's fair to say. I want to see them against North Carolina State because I think North Carolina State can limit them in terms of part of their success right now is they're able to just like completely maul you on the ground, although Travis was amazing through the air. I want to see them against a team that's like got a pulse, and so far we haven't seen that, but that might also be college football. But right now, like, yeah, they look like, I think it kind of proves it's not that hard for Florida State to get back to a reasonable, like, you're not asking them to be a national title contender, but if you're asking them to be the second or third best team in the ACC, it's not that difficult to get back to that point.
And for our final, listen, I was torn. I like playing the Notre Dame fight song whenever we can. Whenever we have a chance to play the third best fight song in the country, should we have played it? Oh, but we've decided to go to another direction.
This team deserves to be recognized. If the APs in the coaches poll aren't going to recognize
them,
we should.
Such BS, by the way. Kansas beats Duke. Their quarterback is really good. Daniels is really good. 19 to 23, 324 yards, four touchdowns, while running for another 83. Kansas wins 35 to 27 over Duke. They got a nice little redshirt freshman of their own, as Riley Leonard. I didn't know anything about him heading into this year.
Yeah, that's
He's
the thing.
Good
like,
too.
Duke didn't exactly embarrass themselves. Like, I thought Kansas would win this game and probably cover, which they did. But I left thinking, Duke, that's not a fluke. Like, they're a good, solid football team.
Yeah, and he's a redshirt freshman, as long as he sticks around. So that's kind of fun. So Kansas is our last team to celebrate as they continue to rack up stunning wins there. But not AP Top 25, which is...
Or coaches poll.
Or
yes,
coaches
of course,
poll.
You know, I have no idea what they have to do.
Others receiving votes.
Mm-hmm.
Who are we going to blow up, Jeffrey? We got a medley today?
Oh, yeah. I do think one of these losses is a little more understandable.
So the two losses, so people know that. So those fight songs were Texas and Oklahoma. The two teams... The two powers that are headed to the SEC.
Yes.
Both got beat. One by Oklahoma got just run down their throat by K-State.
Third and 16. Maybe don't let the quarterback go 50-something yards.
I kind of like the Adrian Martinez...
Redemption tour?
Redemption tour. This is one of the great things about college football now. You have quarterbacks. Hendon Hooker's another one.
Like, yes.
You've got quarterbacks popping up at new places doing great things. And so for Adrian Martinez on third and 16 to be able to run for that first down was tremendous.
Especially when Scott Frost tried to blame everything on him. And it's like, Maybe not.
Maybe not. They beat Oklahoma 41-34. Brent Venables, is he a defensive guy?
He is a defensive guy. I will say, though, he's letting Lebby run their offense. It's just, they're just not, like, when you go up against a tough opponent, I'm not convinced Dylan Gabriel is anything more than what we've seen at UCF, which is he's a good player, but I don't think he's, like, some type of transcendent player.
So you think that one is excusable?
Yeah, I think that one was excusable.
You think Texas Tech beating Texas? This one I loved because it's Texas Tech, little brother.
Mm-hmm.
They may never play Texas again.
I think it's
they may never
outside
play
of a bowl
Texas
game. I think it might be likely
again. I think it's probably likely, and to send them off to the SEC with a
bye-bye.
That was just beautiful, wasn't it?
Oh, not only that.
And
like,
I don't root against Texas, really, because they've been down so long.
Well, Hudson Carr was clearly hobbled. I don't understand what Sarkisian's doing with this whole dressing Quinn Ewers thing. Like, that makes no sense to me. But Texas Tech, the biggest difference between them and when they'd, like, the week ago when they just kind of looked lifeless, they didn't turn the ball over. But I do think, like, for instance, I think Kansas State just lined up and ran it down Oklahoma's throat. But we've been seeing that's kind of what Kansas State does against Oklahoma. This game was just the classic, like, man, Texas Tech didn't look that much worse than Texas. Like, when you watch the game, they looked very similar.
Still, sweet moment for
Yes.
I've gotten more, by the way, on the question of Memphis.
Oh, and an elite horns down. Elite horns down on this one.
I've gotten more reaction from Memphis fans on why 23,000. Someone on Twitter says it was 95 degrees at kickoff, which is true. Like
it was toasty.
It was
on
hot
Saturday,
and it was the middle of the day, so there was that. Someone else complained to me. It is funny. You hear these complaints, and I don't know which ones are legitimate, which ones aren't legitimate. This one was no working water fountains and $4 bottles of water. I don't think a $4 bottle of water at a sporting event is unusual. I think you're lucky you're not getting it for $6.
I also don't
know the situation. I know they ran out of water against UCLA once or whatever, but and then George Burns writes me and says,
I also think, though, those are problems that you discover when you're at the game. Like, that
that's
isn't
true.
A deterrent. I don't think that's anyone from the game. Right. I don't think that's the deterrent.
Okay, well, George Burns says, why does it have to be, yes, we are longing for the excitement of Norvell, but that's not why there's a lack of fan support. It's the game day operations. For instance, and with all due respect, he sounds a little bit like, well, listen, why does it have to be no-stop rap? At 150 decibels. We want to hear Sweet Caroline stuff mixed in. And I want to be able to have a conversation with my seatmates. Also, we want to hear the band. I feel sorry for them being constantly interrupted, played over, etc. And there's a significant segment of the fan base who has had it with electronic tickets. You can say stuff like, well, this is the way it's going, so mm-hmm. you just need to get used to it. But that will not convince those that will not put up with this nonsense. So with all due respect, that stuff is not unique to Memphis.
No,
I am a 61-year-old man, and so if he's complaining about music too loud,
mm-hmm.
the wrong music,
mm-hmm.
Not hearing the marching band, and electronic tickets, with all due respect, that is at every freaking football game in America
100%.
That they pack to the gills.
Yep.
And those that they don't pack to the gills. That's at a Grizzlies game. You go to a Grizzlies playoff game, you're not hearing Sweet Caroline and a marching band. By the way, I'm the biggest marching band geek in the world. Like,
right.
I love the band. If I could have them in studio today, I'd have them in studio today. But,
No, I mean, that's...
It's like, this is a little bit like, I hate to say this, once upon a time, they didn't play music during NBA games.
Yes.
You had basketball, and then you had the break.
Yes.
Now there's music
during every possession
all the time. And people that once upon a time were like, why do we have to have music? Bob Ryan used to say this.
Yes.
Why can't I hear myself think? And the problem is that once you start asking yourself that question, it means you're 61 years old.
Well, and also it's like, you know.
That's me.
I would also say this. I think
what you're also touching at is...
I also, by the way, no different than during Mike Norvell. What they are doing in terms of game ops has not different than when they got 60,000 in that stadium or 40,000 in that stadium to when they have 23.
I don't
think... electronic tickets is different, but it's just insane. We're not going to go back to paper tickets.
Well, on top of that, like, I got to imagine there was a lot of Alabama fans when Alabama started doing the pumping in the, like, rap during every possession. I got to imagine there's a lot of Alabama fans that didn't like it. But then when they started, like, just kicking everyone's ass, I imagine everyone's like, yeah, this is great.
It's the ass-kicking that brings – what brings people to the stadium,
yes,
with all due respect, mm-hmm, it's ass-kicking.
Yes.
And particularly at Memphis, where you need fun ass-kicking.
Yes.
And do that, and there will be a lot of people there.
Yes.
And it doesn't – I don't remember anything they played during Mike Norvell era, but I don't think it was, you know –